have your Bibles, we'd like again if you turn to the book of Genesis in the 22nd chapter. And I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and then I'm going to jump to verse 9 and read down through verse 12. Supporting scripture is coming from James, the second chapter, the 20th through the 22nd verses. The Bible reads, if you are there at Genesis 22, verse 1 and 2. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God tempted Abraham. He said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and give thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. James 2:20-22. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought his works, and by works was faith made perfect. The base of those verses, we like to use a subject with a subtopic. Our works is what justifies our faith. Subtopic is what we do that matters. That we never know when it might be our last time. And so we are thankful to God for our choir this morning, for our people, and again, we are so thankful to Brother Addington and that little spree of history that he shared with us, and to help us know that all you have to be is determined and know that you have something that you want to do for the Lord, and God will bless and help you to take care of your family, and then you never know who's watching. And so those that are watching on, they are inspired and they are encouraged that if he can do it, I can do it. I may not be able to do that, but I ought to be able to do something. We ought to have that mindset this morning. We are thankful to God this morning for our ministerial staff. We are glad to see Reverend Holden in our midst this morning. He tried to slide by up on the upper corner up there, but I got my eyes on him this morning. So we are thankful to God that God blesses and he keeps us despite ourselves. And we don't not take it lightly this morning. We thank God that you had that mindset to get up and don't worry about who didn't get up. Today is a good day to lay back and sleep. Hallelujah, Jesus. I may be up right now, but you call me after I get out of that room and get my gut filled up. And I'll be in la-la land, I tell you. That's something about sometimes you don't want to get up, and then I tell myself, oh, I can sleep again after a while, so I just get on up anyhow. So we are thankful that by God's grace and mercy, he has blessed us to be here on a cold, rainy Sunday morning just to offer praise and to give our God thanks. And I thank God for even the testimony that I heard earlier this morning where it may be rainy and cold on the outside, but we can still have joy and heat on the inside. And if you're able to go home this afternoon and you got some heat in the house, you got a lot to be thankful for. Somebody's cold, somebody's wet right now. They're going to be wet all day long. They don't have a roof over their head. They don't have nobody that's to give them anything. And maybe they might get something to eat today. Maybe they won't. So as we sit down and we begin to enjoy the festivities of the Super Bowl, and you know, today is that day where you don't eat your traditional dinner. You sort of have that knick-knack stuff that you can knick-knack your way on through. But I like them folks want to eat the real food first and then have some knick-knack for later. Knick-knack don't stay with you too long. Look good, smell good, but shoot, it's just gone in a minute. But if you have anything, you still got a lot to be thankful for this morning. We are very fortunate people this morning that God has brought us a mighty long way. And as we remember and we celebrate our history and the heritage during this Black History Month, let us first of all be thankful for all the people that suffered, bled, and died, so that we would have the privilege to come into this house. We can have the privilege to go to the Methodist Church. We can go to the Holiness Church. We can go to any denomination that we want to go to. And somehow, some way, somebody is going to make you feel welcome. There's a whole lot of men and women that have died that we may have the rights that we have right now. And we got a lot to be thankful for as a people. And Minister Johnson shared with us that we ought to celebrate our history every day of the year. Our clerk put it on the bulletin this morning. Black history, 365 days a year. Every day, one of our people make history in some form or fashion. And you just don't know. Sometimes you may not be down in the history book, but you can still plant your history and your legacy and the things that you have done in the hearts and minds of men. And so that's why it's good to have good older people in the midst of us that have went through some things and have lived some things and even had a chance to go through their bad days and realize that this ain't where God want me to be, and change their ways of living, so that by the time we got big enough to have any sense, we thought that they were holier than thou. All of us have some things that we would like to do just a little bit better. I know that we still live in an imperfect world, a world that even though we've come a mighty long way, you got to understand we still got a long way to go. The world in which we live in now, of all the ones that have died for our freedom, there's still those that are full of prejudice and injustice. But doors have been opened for us. There are opportunities in place that works in our favor. What we got to do, and we want to stress this to our young people this morning, is to let our minds know that if we trust and believe in God, to know that you can do anything, you can be anybody that you want to be, if you stand on the scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Never take no for the final answer, and be determined that what God has for you, it is for you. Don't worry about where you come from. Don't worry about the fact that you may not have a whole lot of financial resources right now. There are some things out there that will help you along the way. We got to have that mindset, just like Brother Fuller said. We got to learn how to set our pride aside and realize that if we go down and we fill out the documents, then we can get the help that we need. Don't worry about how you're going to pay it back. You got to get it first. And once you get it, you can worry about payback time after a while. Anybody know there's somebody in here going to die holding somebody something? And I guarantee you're not going to be worried about it. I guarantee your family member not even going to worry about it, because you can write me all the notes you want to write me. I didn't make that bill. There were things when I handled Mama's affair that I let them know. Mama made that. Mama gone. If you want to go talk to Mama. Back yourself up in the corner worrying about something that you don't have no power of. You can only do what you can do. And at that point in time, Mama don't need a good name now. Mama already died with a good name. Mama don't need credit no more. Mama already got everything that she needs. So don't let them pressure you and send you them letters and make you mess up your bill money, what you can't feed your children right because you're trying to pay off a debt from somebody that's already gone. Oh, Lord, somebody going to think I'm telling you not to pay your bills. If you're listening carefully, I'm telling you don't worry about paying nobody else's bills. Unless something change, I know I'm going to die with some medical bills. They won't get it. We got to understand this morning that God blesses us and God has the final answer. We got to have our young people to know it's not where you come from. It's not who your family is that matters. And you got to know that you got to know where you're trying to get to. And if you got somebody to help you along the way, if you got somebody to open up those doors and open up your understanding to know that I may not have been able to make it, but you can make it. I may not have been able to go to college, but you can go to college. I may not have been able to sit in high places, but God has paved the way that you can sit anywhere that you want to sit. We've seen it happen right before our eyes. We all thought that we'd never see a black president, but we saw it, and he did a masterful job. And we as a people got a lot to be thankful for. So don't tell me that you cannot be what you want to be. Even in the midst of prejudice and injustice, he still made it to the highest office on this side of the land. And can't nobody take away what he done. He should be an inspiration to all of us. We like to hop on Dr. Martin Luther King and all that he did. But look at what this man did. We can't keep on worrying about the dead folk. We got to look at what the living folk are doing right now. There's somebody out there fighting our battles right now. There's somebody in Congress fighting our battles so that we as a people can be treated like somebody. Don't worry about everything that comes across the board. There's some things that are thrown out there just to get you confused and to mess up your mind. But don't you know that even though they talk about we're going to take away this and take away that, don't take it so personally because you got black skin, because there's some white folk that's poorer than you are. We got to have faith in God, and we got to apply ourselves to do the work of God. And we got to come to a place in life where we know action speaks louder than words. It is easy to talk a good game. It is easy to hide behind the right words and saying, oh, I got faith in God. I'm trying to believe that everything is going to work out for my good. And my question is, do you really mean what you're saying? See, I found out it's what we do that matters. Not what we say. A whole lot of folk that say, I go with you. But then when it's time to go, you find out that that was just lip service. You got a word. You got to learn how to trust those that are going to do what is the right thing to do. I told you I'm going to preach quick today, so you better be listening. But that time when I can talk real fast, I may talk like a chink in a minute, but I'm going to be saying it. Tear up some words. As long as you know what I'm talking about, we still going to be all right. Got to learn how to trust God. We got to learn how to do what God wants us to do. We got to learn how to strive for what we want in life and take whatever work and preparations that we need to do. We got to get our bodies in shape and our minds in shape. As a preacher, the Bible teaches me that I got to study to show myself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Whatever you decide to do in life, you got to work hard. You got to show the results of what you believe by your actions. I come to talk to you about faith in works this morning. Faith is not only what we believe, but is also the substance of things hoped for. And the Bible declared the evidence of things not seen. So by faith, those things that we cannot see, now we must trust and believe that it would all come to pass. And then there's work, our labor, and our toil in what we are doing. Our lesson this morning deals with going together, faith and works going together hand in hand. We can't have one without the other. We can't say that we got so much faith in God and you got so much faith in God that you ain't got sense enough to help yourself. Anybody ever heard God helps those that help themselves? You got to learn how to do something. There's some folk that love you, but they get tired of giving you a handout. They want to see you doing something for yourself. There's some folk don't mind helping you when they see that you're trying to help yourself. When you get up off of that stool of do nothing and stop having that pity party, there's somebody that'll step up and stand right there with you and realize we may not have much, but what we got, we got. Faith, faith. We got to learn how to not only talk faith, but we got to learn how to work out our own soul salvation. Our lesson this morning deals with them both going hand in hand. James gives us a lesson on the test of good works. For when we look here in the Bible, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he have faith and not have works, can faith save him? So you can talk about being highly favored all you want to, but unless you get up and do something with your saved and sanctified self. All of us so holy that sometimes we so good, we know good. Don't want to help nobody. It's all about me, myself, and I. But God bless you to be a blessing. Don't always stand behind that excuse that, oh, I saved mine and I worked hard and I'm not going to give what little bit I got to nobody. You don't never know when you're going to lose what you got. But what did James say? James said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food And one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? What good is it going to tell me? And I got a whole ham and a loaf of bread in the house. And Daryl come by and say, well, Reb, I don't have anything to eat. I say, bless you, brother. God will feed you. He got cattle upon 1,000 hills. What good is that going to do him? And he can smell that ham coming out my door. If I'm going to help him, I say, well, I can't give you my whole ham, but I'll give you a ham sandwich. That way you can help somebody along the way. Stop talking about all this stuff that you're going to do for somebody and you won't do nothing. Some of us won't even do nothing for our family. Nevertheless, an outsider. And then you can flip-flop that. Some of us will do more for the outsider than you do for your family. Am I talking to anybody in here? If you help me, I promise you I'm going to move right along. James said, even so faith, if it have not works, it is dead being alone. So if you're standing there talking about, I believe the Lord going to open up some doors for me, and you too lazy to go and knock on the door or call on the phone and make an appointment, it's not going to happen. You want a job promotion, but you're not doing anything on the job to show the man that you got something down on the inside, and you learn how to realize that you don't have to be told everything to do. You got a mindset. There's something you see that it need to be done, and you just do it anyhow. That's how you find favor in the boss man. If I got to come and tell you what you got to do, and you already know what you're supposed to do, I want to see you with your faith in action. Standing around talking about what God gonna do, what you gonna do. There are those of us waiting on that job to just fall out of the sky and fall in our lap. And I wanna let somebody know this morning, I don't care how many lottery tickets you buy, you ain't gonna get it until God open up that right door and say that you're gonna be blessed. A lot of you told that lie, the Lord bless me, I'm gonna give so much to the church. That right, you ain't got it. Lord, I already know you're telling a lie. Could have gave God them $2 or $3. I know I'm talking to somebody now. Y'all laughing too much. Move on. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. But then the Bible says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. There are times when you got to believe that God is going to make a way. And what I'm saying is that when you are going through your trial, your tribulation, your pain, and your suffering, even though you're taking the medication, even though you may feel better someday than you ought to feel, you got to believe that God is still going to bring me through. And the way that you show that by action is that you don't get around in a corner and have a little pity party, but you just drag yourself right along anyhow and let somebody know, I'm going to go on anyway. Amen. Never let the enemy think that he's going to hold you down. I got an old mother up in here. Talk to me sometime and tell me that my shoulders are hurting and my bones are hurting. Still on the job. So you know what? When you talk about hurting, you inspire me. Because I still see you moving. I still see you doing the thing that the Lord God would allow you to do. You got to stop feeling sorry for yourself and get off of your lazy behind. Nothing's going to happen unless you help make it happen. It's all right to say I was in the right place at the right time, but in order for you to be in the right place at the right time, you had to get away from place A to get to point B so that you would be where you needed to be. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. James said the devil also believed, and he trembled. So in other words, the devil even know God's good. The devil know that God got power.
So just because you say you highly favored, if you ain't got sense enough to utilize that faith that you got in God, that God's going to still make a way out of no way. We ought to stop just saying it, because there's somebody in here that's a living testimony that God made a way out of no way. There's somebody in here that's decided to say you weren't going to be nothing and you weren't going to make it, but God opened up doors for you and made it possible for you to say, I am somebody. Am I talking to any somebody's in here that know that because of the power of a loving God, you're going to be all right no matter what comes or what goes? It's not what you do, it's not what you say, but it's what you do that matters. Then James comes back. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So if you just got faith and you don't do any work, you may as well just stop talking about your faith. Then James comes along and he gives us an example. He reminds us and takes us back to the Old Testament. He said, was not Abraham, our father of faith, justified by his works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seeing that thou have faith, what his works was faith made perfect. So in other words, because of what he did, because of what he believed, because he trusted God, it let the Lord God know that I'm all right, you all right with me, Abraham. If you're willing to give me the best thing that you love, if you're giving me the closest thing that you have to your heart, and you don't withhold that from me, I believe that you really got faith in God. The scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it's imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. So when you start dealing with all those folk that got so much mouth, always talking about what they can do, always talking about what they gonna do. There's so many folks say, I'm gonna do it on tomorrow. But I just wanna let you know that your tomorrow sometimes have to be today. You can't keep on putting it on the back burner. Sometime or another, you got to pull it to the front burner, and then you got to turn the heat up on it so it'll get past December and start to boil. Bible says, came to pass after these things that God tempted Abraham. God said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. So it was almost like whenever our brother was standing there sharing with us, he walking along with his friend and just cussing and saying everything that was out of the will of God. But God spoke to him and said, Trooper, watch your mouth. He heard the Lord call out. God speaks to us in a small, still voice. And I believe that there's somebody in here that have recognized or acknowledged or witnessed the fact that even though you were at the wrong place, that you didn't have no business there, God spoke to you. And you couldn't have the good time that you wanted to have. You couldn't indulge in the thing that everybody else was indulging in, because something in your mind, something down on the inside said, oh, no, this is not for you. You might have been good at this at one time, but I done changed your way of thinking. Am I talking to anybody in here? So he calls out to Abraham. Abraham acknowledges, I'm right here, Lord. Then he said unto Abraham, now take thy son. Abraham didn't have five sons. Abraham didn't have sons and daughters. The Bible declares, he said, thine only son, Isaac. And then he said, whom thou lovest. I know you love your son. I realized that you were 100 years old before I allowed you to have an heir. All of the days of your youth, all of the days that you and Sarah was together, I didn't allow you to have a child, but I want to show you that I'm God. And there's nothing too hard for me. So because you want a child, because you need an heir, I'm going to allow Sarah to conceive at an old age and have you a baby boy. And I want to let you know he's not going to be Abraham Jr. He's not going to be AJ. But he going to be Isaac. Sometimes God gives you a name. You think that somebody else doesn't name you, but God gives you a name. Got to understand that in their day and in their way, a name had some meaning to it. We're in this crazy time where they naming Shashika and Babika and don't nobody know what that means. It might be raising up some other false god or something. Tells Abraham and Sarah, name that boy Isaac. Isaac grew up being loved. Isaac grew up being nurtured. Isaac grew up walking with his daddy. I can't help but I love that testimony this morning. I can't help but see Isaac just like Brother Addison, walking with his father, seeing what his father doing, realizing that I'm going to take some notes because that's the good thing about having a daddy. You miss out when you don't have a daddy. Because every boy ought to have a daddy to show him how to hammer a nail without hitting his hand. Every boy ought to have a daddy to show him how to get in the bathroom and fix the bathroom without you having to go and call the plumber. Oh, God. Now, thank God for being that kind of God that when you don't have a daddy in the house, God will give you a daddy. For when he said that I'll be a father for the fathers, you don't have to be Brother K to be my daddy. Isaiah, George, and Cloris was my daddies. Kenley came along every now and again. Them were my daddies. I see Isaac looking at his daddy. Leave Isaac realized that my daddy loved the Lord. My daddy knew some things that I don't quite understand, but I see my daddy going and putting some wood together and building an altar and getting the lamb and cutting them up and putting them there on the altar. And when he began to do that, he began to give God some praise. Oh, Isaac loved his daddy. Isaac was taught by his daddy. But now, daddy had a relationship with God. A relationship so tight and so close that one day God tempted Abraham. Told him to give his son Isaac. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. And after he got to the place where God told him to go, he had Isaac, his son, with him. And he looked there, and Abraham had the wood for the burnt offering. Bible declares he rose up and he went into the place of which God had told him in the mountain of Moriah. Then the Bible declares on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place where God was telling him to go. I don't know about you, but I'm looking at it in my mind right now. And I see Abraham standing down at the lower part of the mountain. Abraham looks up above the hills and above the treetops, and for some reason or another, he sees this very special place, Daniel. And he realized that that's where God wants me to go. Isn't it ironic how on the third day, you're a Christian, that ought to mean something to you. Abraham saw this place, and Abraham said unto the other young men that were with him, see, sometime when God get ready to bless you, you can't take everybody with you. Sometime, even though you want somebody to know that you're blessed by the best, sometime you got to leave your brother at home. Sometime you got to say, you stay here while I go yonder and do what the Lord told me to do. Bible says he left them there and he said, abide here and you stay right here, and myself and my son, we're going to go yonder and we're going to worship, and then we'll come back down here where you are. You with me? Where we at then? Verse 6. Okay. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid Isaac, his son, on top of the altar. He took the fire in his hand. Abraham took a knife, and they both went up, both of them together. Now, Isaac looked around and realized that today, I don't see a lamb. I don't see a goat. I don't see nothing for you to kill and get blood from. Bible said, Isaac said, Abraham, my father said, here I am. He said, behold, see the fire, see the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, without any thought in his mind, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they still went both of them off together. So I see here a trust between a father and a son. I see here faith in God. A man that would do what the Lord God told him to do. And I stopped by to tell you this morning that they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built the altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Oh, glory be to God. Then the Bible declared that Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife up in the air, got ready to come down and to slay his son. But hallelujah, an angel of the Lord called out from heaven, said, oh, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fear the Lord thy God. Now I know, Abraham, that there is nothing that you would behold from me. Now I know that everything that I trust you with, I know that you're going to be a mighty man of God. I know that you got faith in the power of God. I know that you believe that God will do whatever he needs to do. And I'm so glad that Abraham looked around and he looked there in the chicken. And the Bible said there was a ram there that was caught in the chicken. He was caught by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram, put him on the altar, took Isaac down off of the altar, and he began to slay this ram. I just stopped by to tell somebody, our works is what justifies our faith. God blessed Abraham to have exactly what he needed, when he needed it, how he needed it. And if there's anybody in the house, if you ever need anything from God, if you got faith in the power of God, all you got to do is call on the name Jesus, and the Lord will come to your rescue. When you're down on your sick bed, I know that my God will be a doctor in the sick room. For somebody said he fills out all of my prescriptions. He writes out all of my prescriptions. He gives me all of my medicine. When I'm down in my sick room and the doctor say this, that, or the other, but I hear my God said, if I hold on and hold out, that everything is going to be all right. I might be down right now, but when I look up to the hills, knowing that they're the hills of Zion, God will pull you up out of your mess. God will make a way out of no way. I'm so glad that it's what you do that matters. You can't lay around and have a pity party, but you gotta tell somebody, I love the Lord. I love the Lord with all of my heart, and I'm gonna trust my God. When I look out of my feeble eyes and it seems like my husband is not getting any better, seems like my wife don't want to get her act together, I'm gonna hold on to God's unchanging hand, because I know that 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 my God, my God will do what I need him to do. I'm gonna put my faith in work by my action. All you gotta do is trust God. It don't matter what you say, but it's what you do that matters. Faith without works is dead. Just because you can't see the progress, that don't mean it's not moving forward. Because you can't see what God sees. You don't know what God knows. And you got to understand that what God has for you, it is for you. And no weapon, no trick of the enemy, no naysayers and no haters can keep you from getting what God has for you. That's why God blessed Abraham and said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations because of your faith in God. You see, he was justified because he allowed God to be God. And when then God asked him to do the impossible, he didn't come back and say, Lord, you know, that's the only son I got. And I got him when I was an old man. Now you want me to kill him. No, 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 no. He said, here I am. Whatever you want me to do, if I have to take Isaac's life, I believe that you know I love Isaac enough that you will restore his life and give him back to me. How deep is your faith? How much do you trust your God?